This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Will Hill, Matt Youmans here on VSiN Primetime, hour three of four tonight. And, Will, we don't have a lot of sports, live sports to talk about. We've had a live show tonight, and we do have some games in action right now we can update, including in baseball, the Canadian Football League, and WNBA with no Caitlin Clark in action tonight. But, you know, let's start in the CFL because we had the Canadian kid, Ian Cameron, on to handicap this game. It's the Thursday night kickoff for week four in the CFL, Edmonton at Winnipeg, and Blue Bombers closed 9-point favorites here at Circa. 9.5 at DraftKings, total of 51.5. Edmonton Elks strike first, and 7-0 Edmonton with 3.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Winnipeg, the home favorite tonight. You can watch that game on CBS Sports Network while you watch our show. Or you can follow the Braves-Mets game at Citi Field, the only baseball game still in action tonight. Will Hill, give us an update on what's happening between the Braves and the Mets.
Still 2-0 Mets. Not much offense to speak of. The Braves have done very little. The Mets have had some traffic and got a couple runs across, but a well-pitched game here for the Mets, despite the fact that they lose Griffin Canning, their starting pitcher, for the remainder of the game in the third inning and possibly for much longer. It looked like a really bad, really painful injury for Cannon. So still 2-0, two outs, bottom of the sixth. A big game here for the Mets. I thought that was a huge win last night to stop the bleeding. They had played so poorly. That was a game where you win that and you can maybe just take a deep breath and start to get your season back on track after 2 weeks of just miserable, miserable baseball. So I think the Mets are going to be okay. I think you and I are aligned that it's them in Philly down to the wire, and you wouldn't count out Atlanta, who's only 8 back in the loss. So and there's still a lot of time left, but if you're the Mets, you'd much rather have Atlanta be 9 out than 7 out. And just, you know, that's been the other thing here with this struggle for the Mets. Not only is it hurting their standings and they're, you know, dropping games in terms of winning the division in their interest, they're also resuscitating Atlanta. Atlanta beat them 5 times in a row. So there's a double-edged sword there where, you know, you don't want the Braves hanging around. Obviously, you want to win games to pad your record, but the fact that they lose them to Atlanta and they give Atlanta a little life raft, that would scare me if I'm the Mets. I don't want that team anywhere near the playoffs, anywhere near the NL East race. They had a bad start. Just they're down and out. Bury them. Don't give them life. And the Mets have given them life here the last week or so.
Yeah, you're right. The Mets 2-10 in their last 12 games going into tonight, but they did beat the Braves last night and tonight have held the Braves to 2 hits through 6 innings, and the Mets have a 2-0 lead at Citi Field. Let's acknowledge what's happening in the WNBA tonight because Indiana Fever are in action against the LA Sparks. And Will, what's the big story here is Caitlin Clark is not playing for the Fever. I believe it's an ankle injury. This number opened 10.5, closed 5.5. And Caitlin Clark's been in mired in a miserable shooting slump. I think 1-for-28 from 3, something like that. And you don't see her go through shooting slumps like that. Last weekend, she played in Vegas and shot 1-for-10 from 3 with 8 turnovers. And the Fever's lost to the Las Vegas Aces. Right now, it looks like L.A. on top 75-71. Late in the fourth quarter, with no Caitlin Clark, Fever, home favorites, in danger of going down tonight. The late game in the WNBA is here in Vegas. Starts in about an hour. The Aces back to 500 at 7-7 are 9-point home favorites over Washington. And you got 2 games in that league tonight. And that's it. Let's go from the WNBA to the NBA. And update you on the draft. And we've had a couple more picks off the board. Will Hill, we are, it looks like, 9 picks deep in the second round here. And the last 2 off the board, Cam Jones, the guard from Marquette, goes to the San Antonio Spurs at number 38. That's a solid pick by the Spurs. You got to like a veteran guard like Cam Jones. And how about this one? I like this as well. If you see Elijah Martin, he looks like an NBA player. He's got the body for it. Elijah Martin's a guy who could step in and play right away. Off the national champion Florida Gators team, goes to the Toronto Raptors at number 39. So, Will, a couple of veteran college guards off the board here. Cam Jones Marquette and Elijah Martin from Florida.
Yeah, that's the fun part of watching this round, too. You do see a bunch of names if you're a college basketball fan that you recognize. I'm curious if you can relate to this too. Whenever they show these highlight packages of the players, I immediately recognized the game and remember if I had money on the game and if I won or if I lost. Like Chaz Lanier just got picked a few picks ago. I can remember a Saturday afternoon noon Eastern game against Ole Miss where he hit six threes in the first half. I had Ole Miss plus the points. I think I had Ole Miss in the Circa contest. So you get those same flashbacks. You'll see highlights of a game. Oh, I remember that game. I had money on. I won. I lost. You get flashbacks to the games you bet during the college basketball season.
All the time. It's very easy to remember, especially, you know, it's crazy. You might bet 300 to 400 games over the course of a college basketball season, right? That's not an exaggerated number when you're talking about a five-month season. From November, December, January, February, March, you could easily bet 400 games. I could almost tell you every game I bet of those 400. And like you said, when you see the highlights, you know exactly what game that was from, if you had a bet on it, and probably how it turned out. But Elijah Martin here with the ninth pick of the second round. Florida Atlantic transfer, ends up at Florida, wins the national championship. Walter Clayton was drafted in the first round last night, and Elijah Martin goes in the second round tonight, so a couple of Gators off the board. Martin goes to the Toronto Raptors right here, so we're at pick number 40 of the second round. And a couple of guys have been waiting, three players I'm waiting to get drafted here. Maxime Reynaud, the seven-footer from Stanford. Kobe Bray, the guard from guard from Kentucky, a transfer from Dayton. Kobe Bray, the top three-point shooter by percentage in this NBA draft. He's still on the board. And Eric Dixon from Villanova, the nation's leading scorer. If he goes, he's probably going to go late in the second round tonight. Will, the Charlotte Hornets, I haven't said this many times in my life, but I love what the Hornets are doing in this draft. In the first round, they get Con Knipple from Duke. They get Liam McNeely from UConn. Tonight, in the second round, back-to-back, Cyan James from Duke. And one of my favorite players, Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton, the seven-footer who can defend the rim and step out and shoot in the three. And it's not very often, Will Hill, that we say complimentary things about teams like the Wizards or the Hornets, but you have to like this Hornets draft, right?
I do. I'm not sure what kind of immediate impact it makes. And at some point, LaMelo Ball either has to stay on the floor and not get injured or learn how to pass because, look, not that I'm sitting here watching every Hornets game, but you know the times I have watched him, he does seem like a total ball hog. He's hurt a lot. I just don't think he's a winning player. I know he's talented. He's big. He can shoot. But you know, at some point, if you're the Hornets, is this the guy you want to build around or you want to build around the guys you just drafted? I might be inclined to build around the guys I just drafted and see what I can get for LaMelo Ball in terms of picks and young players. I don't know that Ball is a guy you want to build a winning team around. I'm not sure that that's the right guy.
That's a fair concern. I think that's probably something that's at the forefront of the Charlotte Hornets front office thinking going into this offseason, too. Is it the right time to trade him or not? Because I like this young talent that the Hornets are putting together, and I have not said very many nice things about the Hornets over the years. How about the Boston Celtics? They made a couple of picks here. Brad Stevens at the end of round one, and I think Celtics fans probably don't even know what to make of this draft at this point because you haven't seen these players. Hugo Gonzalez, a guard from Spain, went to the Celtics with the 28th pick. Late in the first round. Tonight, Brad Stevens stays international, and he goes Noah Penda, a forward from France. Will Hill, just in general, we're talking about the 2024 NBA champions and the teardown and the rebuild of the Boston Celtics, where Jason Tatum's going to be out next season. Drew Holiday's been traded to Portland, and Kristaps Porzingis has been traded to Atlanta, and the Celtics probably not done with the moves they're going to make here in the offseason. What do you think of the Boston Celtics rebuild?
Now, the OKC Thunder are different because they're more stable, but it does go to show you just how quick life can change and sports aren't as easy as it looks sometimes. A calendar year ago, Tatum, Brown, both in their prime, NBA champs, good chance to repeat maybe, and the next thing you know, a year later, you don't even recognize the team. It's a whole new team, so it's hard to win in sports. It's hard to maintain it. I don't know what to make of this team. It seems like they're just trying to offload money. The East is there, but I guess it's just a step back here. Would you think about if you're Boston just using this as a total reset and saying, you know what, we'll almost tank, mini tank, try to get a good pick like the Spurs with Tim Duncan, an exaggerated example years ago, but we're not going to win it this year anyway. We'll just take a step back to hopefully take a step forward. So You're right, though. Very strange to go from the NBA champs to a team you don't even recognize in a very short period of time.
Well, that's what a Jason Tatum Achilles injury can do to you, right? Yeah. When a player like that blows out his Achilles, he's going to miss next season, you would think all of next season. Sure. And Celtics have a lot of big contracts on the books, and it's probably the best thing. I don't disagree with what they're doing. I think it's a right time to tear down, rebuild, get rid of some of those bad contracts, and start over, and you have the right guy to do it in Brad Stevens. Right. If I would put faith in anyone to do a rebuild the right way, it would be Stevens in Boston, and that's in progress as we speak. Hey, this summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the Ultimate Getaway Package. Just $400 all in. You get a two-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and your own day bed at Stadium Swim, all for $400, resort fees and taxes included. You can also stop by and see the Crazy Girls who are here now. This limited time offer through September 4th can be had at CircaLasVegas.com. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now. Again, go to CircaLasVegas.com. Will Hill, again, mention your bet, the futures bet you made that I like so much, and you got a great number on it this week.
Chase Burns, 100-1, National League Rookie of the Year. I got to deal with this Mizorowski guy. It's only a handful of innings, but it's funny. 100-1, immediately down to 20-1 the next morning, and then 3-1 when he took the mound. So wild swings in these markets.
Chase Burns, the number two overall pick in last year's MLB draft, with a great debut for the Reds this week. We're going to talk baseball with Chris Jimenez, who joins us next. Stay tuned to VSiN Primetime. Welcome back. Will Hill, Matt Youmans here on VSiN Primetime. And we got a couple more draft picks to update you on. Micah Peavy, guard from Georgetown, goes to the Wizards at number 40. And Will Hill, how about this? The Golden State Warriors take the best shooter by three-point shooter by percentage in the draft. Kobe Bray from Kentucky goes to the Warriors at number 41. That's an on-brand pick for the Warriors, right? Taking a shooter.
Steph Curry has someone to learn from now. Steph Curry can learn how to shoot from this guy. That's right.
I'll tell you what, he can shoot it, and Kobe Bray goes to the Warriors at number 41. All right, let's go north, not as far to the Bay Area. We're going to go up to Reno. Chris Jimenez, former MLB catcher, host on SiriusXM MLB Radio, joins us. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisJimenez5 on X. Chris, welcome to the show. You've been doing great baseball spots with us this season, but first I'm going to hit you up for a weather report. I hope you were not on Lake Tahoe last week when that crazy weather event happened. Do you go out on a boat on Lake Tahoe much, and can you kind of explain what happens? One of the most bizarre weather events I've seen recently up at Lake Tahoe last week.
Yeah, it certainly was. Very, very scary event. I actually was not on the lake. I was in Sacramento calling the Guardians Athletics game. Okay. So thankfully, I was nowhere around it. But really scary storm popped up out of nowhere. It ended up actually snowing, 80-mile-an-hour winds. They said, according to reports, there's 10 people dead from it. There was a capsized boat in the heart of the lake that turned over. 8 people from that died. They still can't find 2 folks under the water somewhere. And it was a super scary event that – it's kind of like one of those once in a million, type storms that comes over the lake, because you would think earlier in the day it was 70 degrees, people were playing golf, and the next thing you know, it's snowing, 80-mile-an-hour winds, and 110 boats were either lost or capsized, and up to 10 people right now have lost their life because of it.
That's just wild. Bizarre weather event at Lake Tahoe. I was talking about it yesterday with a professional sports bettor, Steve Fezzik from Vegas, who was up at Lake Tahoe recently, and we were just talking about how strange that whole story was. And you live up in Reno, so I know you knew all the details about it.
Right.
Chris Jimenez with us, and former MLB catcher. Chris, if you had a chance to catch Chase Burns, the number 2 overall pick in last year's MLB draft against the Yankees on, I think it was, Tuesday night this week?
Anyway, Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, when Burns made his debut and he blew away the Yankees in the first 2 innings, what would you have been thinking? What were you thinking when you watched Burns in that debut?
The only thing I could think of was the fact that the National League Central has Chase Burns, Paul Skenes, and Jacob Mizorowski for the next 5-6 years there's going to be some epic battles in that division, as you could make a case for that being some of the best young pitching Major League Baseball has to offer. He looked every bit the part. I actually talked to Terry Francona on Monday, and he was extremely excited about, you know, Chase Burns' debut, that they tried to poke as many holes in him as they possibly could, and just ultimately came up to the decision that it was him, his time to come up there. And unfortunately for him, it was against the Yankees, or fortunately, I guess, depending on how you look at it, but no better team most likely to come up and go out and just power through with a fastball, really good breaking ball command. He's continually working on a third and fourth pitch. The changeup's always really been really good, but the velocity's real, and it's kind of tantalizing to think that you could be watching 100 plus miles an hour out of three guys in that division.
Yeah. Will Hill, tell Chris about the bets you made this week, how the number has moved, and talk about those three pitchers.
Yeah, I got Burns 100-1. The problem is Mizorowski here, really? Three starts has allowed only three hits. So that's going to be hard to beat. The thing that impresses me, and I'm sure you can relate as a former hitter, the extension. When you're 6'7", your arms are that long. Not as he only throwing 102. He's so close. The hand is so close to you by the time the ball releases. Isn't that throw you off as a hitter, where you have even less time to react, and it just creates so much deception from a hitter standpoint?
It definitely creates a ton of deception. 7'6" down the mound. It's actually the second highest extension rate in Major League Baseball to Tyler Glasnow, who's 7'7". So he's got him beat by an inch, but they're the same tight, tall, lanky guys that absolutely get down the mound. The thing that really gives you the hardest time, yes, the velocity is real, but the problem is his extension allows the ball to carry. It has true carry on it, and it your eyes as a hitter perceive the ball to come down at a certain angle. Well, his extension keeps that ball up. It almost appears to rise, so to speak, even though it's not actually rising. It makes it very, very difficult to get on top of. And then when you can add the breaking ball, and he's been working on a changeup as well, just to keep hitters honest, if they do happen to catch up to 100 to 103, it certainly seems like it's going to be good luck for hitting in that National League Central, because, like I said, there's a few guys that can absolutely chuck it. And I think our game's in a fantastic spot right now from young, controllable starter standpoint.
This time last year, the Tigers and the Mets were not really on the radar. They both came out of nowhere, made the playoffs, made a run. Do you see a team like that this year that could come out of nowhere? They're not really, you know, talking about or doing well here at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, first and foremost. One of those teams, I think, could very well be the Cincinnati Reds. They currently sit 3.5 games back in the division, just a half game back in the wild card right now. You have the emergence now of Chase Burns. They have Hunter Green. They have some flamethrowers there, but they arguably have the most established manager in the division. And that's saying something, because there's some really good managers in that division. But Terry Francona, to me, is a difference maker. He's got these guys playing really hard, really smart, and it was just a matter of time before they really started to hit their stride. I think we're seeing that now. Ellie De La Cruz is a potential MVP candidate with what he can do. On the base pass, in the field, he's electric out there, and they've got some really good young talent. Matt McClain's starting to establish himself again, coming back off of an injury where he missed the entirety of last year with a shoulder. I think there's a lot of good things ahead for the Reds. They just have to continue to keep pace with the rest of that division and let that young pitching go to work.
Hey, I want to follow up on that point, because you were saying you talked with Terry Francona this week before Chase Burns made that start. The Reds open a homestand or open a series. They just took 2 of 3 from the Yankees at home. Now they're going to be home this weekend against the Padres. Dylan Cease against Nick Martinez. That's the pitching matchup on Friday. The Padres open -136. Are the Reds being a little bit disrespected or underrated in the betting market, still being home underdogs in that matchup on Friday against the Padres?
Well, in this particular case, I think you could make a case for maybe a slight overreach with that, but Dylan Cease has some of, if not the best pure stuff in Major League Baseball. And unfortunately, this year, it just hasn't been utilized consistently. But to me, he's a guy at any point in time. I mean, we're talking no-hitter capable stuff here. So I feel like with that, with the offense of the Padres and the fact that Nick Martinez has been hit around a little bit in a bit of a hybrid role going from the pen to starting rotation, that's probably why you see the line the way it is.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of backing Nick Martinez there, even though I do right. like I do want to look for a spot here to back the Reds, a spot or two, maybe Saturday and Sunday to back the Reds in this series. That's a good question by Will about the team, and I like your answer about the Reds. They look like a team on the rise with all that young talent. I was impressed by the way they played in the series against the Yankees. Chris Jimenez with us, former MLB catcher, and Chris, you can catch him on SiriusXM MLB radio as well. Chris, when is your show on SiriusXM? And I know you do some games on there as well.
I do, yeah. So show's Saturday mornings, 7 to 10 West Coast time, 10 to 1 East Coast. It's called Loud Outs. It's a lot of fun. Myself, Kevin Franzen, two former Bay Area baseball players. We used to talk a lot of crap to each other in high school, even in Little League. We've known each other since we were 12 years old. So it's a lot of fun to get a chance to go to him. He went to San Jose State. I went to Nevada. Big rivals in the baseball world. So it's just a great time. We talk a lot of baseball, and we can get real in-depth with some stuff.
Well, you mentioned the Bay Area, so let's close it out there. I was watching the Giants last night, watching the Giants today. Logan Webb didn't have his best stuff last night. Giants bullpen blew up in the 10th inning, and they lose to the Marlins. And they get knocked around by the Marlins again today. And that's a three-game sweep here. Where are the Giants? You know, a week or so, a week and a half after the Rafael Devers trade, this team having trouble creating much offense, and that's a really disappointing sweep at home at the hands of the Marlins.
Certainly was, and right before that, they actually had the chance of getting swept by the Red Sox and the Guardians. So they have not been playing their best baseball since acquiring Rafi Devers. Ultimately, though, I think they're going to be just fine. Listen, Rafi Devers is a top eight player in Major League Baseball right now, and I think they're still working through what does their identity look like with him in this lineup. We know they can pitch. The outlier from the bullpen last night, and Logan Webb for that matter, I'm willing to just throw out. This is the best bullpen in baseball statistically, so they can come at you from a lot of different angles. There's a lot of velocity in this bullpen, and these guys can spin the baseball. And the best part is they have Bob Melvin, who seemingly has the ilk of every single player on that staff and in that rotation. I'm really excited about what the Giants have the capability of doing, because most importantly, they've made arguably the biggest move we will see, or the biggest name we will see move at the trade deadline has already gone to the Giants. Buster Posey's going to be extremely aggressive, and I can't imagine that they're going to be done. They're going to go all in. They realize that there's an opportunity for them this year.
Buster Posey's going to spend the money. There's no doubt about it. And Chris Jimenez, appreciate the time. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Chris. Talk to you later.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you want to know where the money is really going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa Sports and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you the insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa takes action from pro bettors. DraftKings has a broader market perspective coast to coast. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kinds of wagers that move lines. Check out the percentage of bets, percentage of handle on every game, every major sport. It helps you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Will Hill, we've got a wild one in Canada tonight. I've been watching this CFL game on CBS Sports Network, and Ian Cameron came on to handicap it with us tonight. Ian Cameron's plays were Edmonton plus 11, Edmonton team total over 19.5, and the game over 48.5. If you're checking the betting splits, the money was on the over tonight. It closed 51.5 at DraftKings, 51 here at Circa. And, Will, we have a 20-10 game. Winnipeg on top of Edmonton, 9 minutes to go in the second quarter. So Ian Cameron looking pretty good on that over the total bet tonight in the CFL.
Yeah, and Ian, as he usually does, gets a good number. You can get some CLV in the CFL with the line movements. It's not as sharp as the NFL, where, you know, these lines aren't going to move the way they do here. When you're getting 11 and you're up 7-0, you're up 10-6, you feel pretty good. I didn't see how it happened. It went from 10-6 to 20-10 very quickly. But Edmonton punts down 10. Feels like the momentum is certainly going the other way. They did recover a muffed punt, though, so they get the ball back. So more offense maybe here coming for Edmonton. Big break as they were forced to punt, but they do recover it, and they're going to have pretty good field position.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about there. Another big play in this game. We have an upset tonight. I could say a big upset, but Caitlin Clark did not play for the Indiana Fever, so it's not a shocker. Fever closed 5.5-point home favorites without Clark, who's been in a miserable shooting slump. I think 1-for-28 from three. She was terrible on the Fever's West Coast trip. Set out tonight, I believe, with an ankle injury. Indiana Fever were tied the last time we talked about this game. Sparks end up winning 85-75. So Sparks pull away late, win by 10 as 5.5-point dogs. And that game stays under the total of 167.5. It's interesting. Well, someone mentioned to me, somebody who bets WNBA mentioned to me last week, when Caitlin Clark is in, bet the Fever over the total. When Clark is out of the lineup, bet the Fever under. Makes Clark's sense. Out tonight, and this game stays under the total. It opened 170.5, closed 167.5, and 160 total points tonight. Indiana Fever go down, stays under the total without Caitlin Clark. One more WNBA game. It's going to tip off here in about a half hour. Las Vegas Aces, 9-point home favorites against Washington. All right, Will Hill.
I was just going to say quickly, what were the guests we had on earlier? The power slap? Is that that's what it's called, right?
Power slap, yep.
Yeah, so the rest of the WNBA treating Caitlin Clark like their personal power slap, maybe that's affected her shooting here because she gets absolutely assaulted here and the refs don't protect her. Her teammate finally protecting her there in Cunningham, but maybe all of the the physical nature of the defenses against her is affecting her. But very strange to see a shooter as good as her going this prolonged of a slump.
Terrible slump. In the game in Vegas, I've mentioned before, she went 1-for-10 from three with 8 turnovers. I also think that Fever locker room is a mess. Not that I keep my finger on the pulse of the WNBA, but you see enough of what's happening that the Indiana Fever team is a bit of a mess with the coach and one of the situations with one of the key players who's going to leave the team. You mentioned Power Slap 13 Friday night.
Yeah.
Fountain Blue, but if you come here to Circa Fight House, you can watch the fights here beginning at 6 p.m. on Friday night. Watch it here in the book out of Stadium Swim. Again, the Hawaiian Hitman, Dane Vierness, big underdog, super heavyweight title challenger against the Ivan Drago of Power Slap, the Russian legend. Tomorrow night, the Hawaiian Hitman's got his work cut out for him. And we also had the Wolverine, Ron Botta, and Ron was in studio. He's a light heavyweight champion. He's a big favorite of -270 tomorrow night. Circa at one point had -300. I think it might be up to 300 now. Open 270, up to 300. Again, the Hawaiian Hitman and Wolverine in studio with us tonight, and you can catch those fights on YouTube. Or just come over here to Circa at the Fight House and watch it in the sportsbook or out at Stadium Swim tomorrow night. Hopefully the Hawaiian Hitman can pull off the upset. And he can shock the world on Friday night and take down the Russian legend. All right, Will Hill, we were talking with Chris Jimenez. Former MLB catcher, does some really good baseball spots with us. We could talk baseball with him for an hour. We had about 10 minutes. Sure. He's the host of Loud Outs on SiriusXM MLB Radio. He calls some games on there as well. And follow him on Twitter at ChrisJimenez5. Chris lives up in Reno, former Nevada baseball player. We were talking about the bets you made on Chase Burns, the number two overall pick in last year's draft, made his MLB debut against the Yankees, and you and I were watching that game closely this week. He blew away the Yankees in the first two innings. You actually had the foresight. You made a bet on Burns to win NL Rookie of the Year, I believe, over the weekend.
Saturday night around midnight, East Coast, I see the tweet from Jeff Passan that Chase Burns is coming up. I look around, I see 100-1. I know the National League Rookie of the Year, pretty wide open, especially at that time. Mizorowski had only made maybe one or two starts. So at 100-1, why not bet it? And woke up in the morning and it's 20-1. And then the second or third inning of his first start, it's 3-1. So it's amazing the fluctuations. They are not offering me a cash out. When you go from 100-1 to 3-1, I would be interested in the cash out. I know you and I were texting during game 7 of the NBA Finals, and I had McConnell 140-1, and I was able to get like 3x my cash out. I usually wouldn't do it, but I thought the Pacers were basically drawing dead, so that was a rare occurrence where I took it. If you gave me a pretty nice number here on Burns to just cash that thing out and put the money in my pocket as opposed to sweating it out and maybe winning it in November, I'd be interested, but doesn't seem to be an option, at least at the moment.
Yeah, with that T.J. McConnell bet, we talked about that last Friday on the show, right? You took McConnell was it 150 to 1 or 140 to 1, 130 to 1,
yeah,
something like that?
140 to 1.
Yeah, to be NBA Finals MVP. And he scored 12 straight points for the Pacers in the third quarter. And he was live. At that point, he was live to be Finals MVP. But you could see the game slipping away from the Pacers. Their offense went into a funk. At one point, I said, this game's over. Pacers aren't coming back. They might come back and cover the 8.5, but the game's over. They're done. Will, cash out, because McConnell's not going to win MVP. So you did cash out, what, late in the third quarter? When did you cash out there on that?
Yeah, I remember the score being like 79-68 or something, and maybe even more of a lead for OKC, where it was nearly impossible for me to see Indiana winning the series. And it does become, there's a psychology, a human element of, okay, I don't know what, I'm going to get a couple $100 profit. It's probably the right move. But the fear of possibly leaving a monster winner on the table and having to live with that has to factor in. But again, I just didn't think it was realistic at that point the Pacers were going to win.
Okay, so you took the cash out on that. You have not been offered the cash out yet on the National League Rookie of the Year, but you're live with this change, bro. I wouldn't be looking for it yet, not necessarily. An injury could change things. Let's say Jacob Mizorowski has some sort of injury or maybe gets roughed up in a couple of games, finally gets hit. Right. Who knows? There's a lot of time left. You got 3 months left. Chase Burns just got called up. Very impressive debut against the Yankees. How do you handicap this National League Rookie of the Year race the rest of the way? How many players do you think could win it? And what's going to have to happen for Burns to overtake Jacob Mizorowski of Milwaukee?
It's so hard because Mizorowski's had three starts and they're all five-inning starts. It's not like he's going 7, 8, 9 innings. He's only throwing a handful of innings. And Burns hasn't done much. So I don't think Mizorowski should be minus $1.25. I don't think he should be odds on. Burns at plus 750. If he had nothing, is that a great bet after a few? I think he could win. He certainly has the talent. I don't think that's a bad bet, but it just goes to show you it's not even who you bet, it's when you bet it, because these are just so sensitive where the guy throws two innings and he goes from 20 to 1 to 3 to 1. Mizorowski in three starts is odds on. I wouldn't be betting a guy odds on with this much time to go. I'll say that.
I think right now he's the hottest thing going in baseball, right? It was Paul Skeens for a long time, but then Skeens lost the duel. Mizorowski had the outing last week. What was he, perfect into the seventh? Or was he had a yes. no he had a yep. no hitter into the seventh?
Both.
Okay. Yeah, I think we were on the air that night when that was happening. And he gave up a home run, right? Didn't he give up a home run to ruin the perfect game?
Yep, a walk and a homer.
Yeah. Yep. But Mizorowski is definitely caught the attention of a lot of bettors. Every time he pitches now, he's going to draw action, no question about it, especially in the first five. Think about that. We're going to update you with what's happening in the NBA draft. Milwaukee Bucks are on the board. Got a couple of big-name players coming off the board here in the draft in the past 15 minutes. Also in the CFL, we're nearing halftime in Winnipeg. Blue Bombers up 20-10 over the Edmonton Elks. And that game looks like it's headed over the total. And we have an update for you from Citi Field on the Braves-Mets game. And it looks like it's all Mets. And the closer is in the top of the ninth. All right, back here in a couple minutes on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Will Hill, Matt Eumanns here on VSiN Primetime, wrapping up the third of 4 hours tonight. And, Will, we're trying to wrap up the game in Citi Field between the Braves and the Mets. Where do we stand here in the ninth inning? Did the Mets just close it out?
It looks like the Mets just closed it out. This was a pretty good pitching performance, despite the fact that Griffin Canning went down in the third inning, and there's bigger questions with the Mets that continue to lose pitcher after pitcher after pitcher. But a couple of important wins back-to-back nights here. They win Wednesday, they win Thursday, they stop the bleeding, and maybe the Mets, who played miserably here for a couple weeks, maybe the bad baseball is behind them. You got to figure out some of this pitching because you can't just keep losing pitcher after pitcher. But the Mets have righted the ship here the last couple days. So had a small bet on the Mets. Anytime you have a small bet that wins, you wish you had played it for a little bit more. But pretty comfortable win for the Mets. Atlanta did not do much on offense all night. I can't remember. I've had this game on the side here. I can't remember looking up once and seeing Atlanta even with a base runner. They probably had maybe 2-3 base runners the entire night. So a very quiet day for Major League Baseball offenses in general, and a very quiet night here for the Braves, who just did not do anything tonight on offense.
Well, hey, it's a successful show, right? If you have a winner, you gave it out before the game started. Mets, and I think you had the Mets, what, minus 110 or 115? What'd you play?
Yeah, I think 112, something like that.
Under the total of 8.5. And that's the theme tonight, and something I'm going to keep an eye on, and I'm sure you will too, Will, with MLB getaway days when the teams are getting out of town, heading out on Thursday night for the weekend series in a different city. It's been a thing for as long as I can remember in baseball, getaway days on Thursdays. But today it seemed like so many teams just wanted to get these games over with. And he had 7 of 9 games staying under the total today in MLB. The only games that went over, the Twins 10-1 over the Mariners, and the Marlins 12-5 over the Giants. The other 7 games stayed under the total, including this Mets 4-0 win over the Braves. Total in this one tonight was 8.5. Well, I've always thought there is something to this because I covered the White Sox back in the day and also AAA baseball here in Vegas. Covered MLB for a while, too. But the Thursday games, and you'll hear players say this, they're going to go up. They're not taking a bunch of pitches. Sometimes, I'm not saying this all the time, but sometimes, they're swinging early, trying to get these games over quickly, trying to get over 2 hours, 2:15, so you can get packed, get out of town. And a lot of times these teams want to get these games over quickly on Thursdays. That seemed like the case today. We had 4 shutouts in MLB today and 7 of 9 games under the total. Is this something that's popped up that you've noticed on other Thursdays, other getaway days this season? Or is this kind of the first time you've noticed that, well, we got a bunch of low-scoring games, a bunch of games are over quickly, and it's the getaway day theme?
I noticed it on Sunday, and I thought, you watch these games, you watch them through the prism of your own bet. I forget what pitcher I had, either under strikeouts or under outs. I was really monitoring his pitch count and paying attention to that. And it was like 6-7 pitch innings. Like, these guys are having horrible bats. They're just going up there swinging at everything. And it was one game, another game. And I said it to Ben Wilson. I was like, you know what? People, when they lose a bet, they want to make excuses or they point to reasons. But I have noticed here today, a lot of guys, maybe because it's a getaway day, are having horrible bats. And he said, it's funny you mentioned that because I went to a game and whatever a week or two ago. And the same thing, you could tell in person that there was an emphasis from this team on swinging early and kind of getting out of there. Now, I guess if you coordinate it as a team and say, hey, we got dinner reservations tonight, let's be swinging early. If you all swing early, that's going to have an effect. You're going to be looking at a quicker game, barring foul balls or anything. So if you're swinging at first pitches, second pitches, you can have some quick at bats. So yes, the competitiveness of at bats, the urgency of at bats, the lack of patience is something to keep an eye on. It just, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard to handicap. I wouldn't bet an under just because it's a getaway day, but it's something to at least keep in the back of your mind. Did you bet anything today baseball-wise?
No bets today on baseball. A couple I considered, but did not make any bets. And I was actually thinking about the under in the Dodgers-Rockies game, believe it or not. And then that stayed under with the Dodgers beating the Rockies 3-1. Shohei Ohtani hit a late homer in that one. But temperatures cooling off in Colorado. And, you got to watch the weather. And I do think you have to keep the getaway day factor in mind. Thursdays and Sundays in MLB. And this Thursday, today, there were so many early games today. And the only late game was one we just talked about, the Braves-Mets. And the Mets just closed out a 4-0 win. But I've thought that for a long time in baseball, that the getaway day factor is real. Because I've heard players talk about it, heard managers talk about it. You want to get the game over with, get on to get out of town or whatever you have to do on Thursday night. Players want to get those games over early on Thursday. They start early, get them over early, and it's almost like an extra day off. Anyway, that's the theme
umpires
tonight.
Too. Remember, umpires have a flight to catch. Now, you can't do it as much now because everything's tracked, but in the old days, that it's a little off the plate. Guess what? Strike three. We'll see.
So these umpires expand the strike zone.
They're
right?
Always fine.
Yeah,
exactly.
Expand the strike zone. You got the hitters swinging because they know they got a bigger strike zone. And it works that way as well. That's a good point too. 4 shutouts today in baseball. 7 of 9 games stay under the total. We're at halftime in the CFL, kicking off week 4 in Winnipeg tonight. The Blue Bombers on top of the Edmonton Elks, 23-10. Again, Ian Cameron joined us on the show tonight, as he will almost every week, to preview the CFL card. He's got over the total of 48.5. He helps move the markets in the CFL, too. He's been one of the sharpest CFL handicappers or bettors in the market for a long time. And he puts his plays out early. He put it out over 48.5. Total moved up to 51.5 at most spots. 23-10 at halftime, Winnipeg over Edmonton. Will grew up watching a lot of CFL on ESPN way back in the day. And the Edmonton team was nicknamed the Eskimos. They have changed their nickname, obviously, in recent years to the Elks. I had no idea Eskimos was an offensive nickname. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I was not up to date. But now I'm aware. I remember that name, too. Do you know when it changed? Because I wasn't – I just kind of – to me, they're Edmonton. I don't remember that. Is that recent?
That's within the last few years, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. I had no idea Eskimos was an offensive name, and had to change it to the Elks. So it's the Edmonton Elks trailing at halftime to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in CFL action tonight. I've always felt like the CFL is an underrated league. I like to watch the football, the quality of football. And in the middle of the summer, it gives you a different betting option, too, especially if you know a sharp handicapper like Ian Cameron, who knows the ins and outs of all the teams. Can help you out, help improve your winning percentage when you're handicapping this league. Actually, the halftime score, I think there was a late field goal.
Yeah, there was.
Okay, 23-13 is the halftime score. It's even better if you bet the over, like Ian did. 36 points.
Did you see the drop touchdown?
I did not see that.
Oh, my goodness. It was about – he was so wide open. It hit him right in the hands, and then maybe the face mask. It was right through his hand. So that was that's a tough one.
All right, update on the NBA draft. Chris Jimenez, who lives in Reno, joined us earlier in the show tonight, former MLB player. We had a player from Reno just go off the board in the NBA draft, pick number 50, Kobe Sanders, guard from Nevada, picked by, I believe, the Knicks. It appears the 6'7 guard from the Nevada Wolfpack just went to the Knicks at pick number 50. Previous to that, pick number 49, Tyrese Proctor, guard from Duke, to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pick number 48, Memphis Grizzlies took Javon Small, guard from West Virginia. And we go all the way back to OKC here. OKC Thunder at pick number 44 took a player I like out of the Big Ten. Not a great three-point shooter, but he's got some upside. Brooks Barnheiser from Northwestern, a purple cat, went to the OKC Thunder at number 44. And Maxime Reynaud, the seven-footer from Stanford, went pick number 42 to the Sacramento Kings. For those who didn't hear us update the NBA draft second round earlier, highlights would be Ryan Kalkbrenner, center from Creighton, to the Charlotte Hornets, pick number 34, the fourth pick of the second round. Jonai Broome from Auburn, fifth pick of the second round. Broome goes to the Sixers. Chaz Lanier, sharpshooter from Tennessee, to the Pistons at number 37. Cam Jones from Marquette to the Spurs at 38. And Elijah Martin from Florida, national champion Gators, put their second guard in the draft. Elijah Martin goes to the Raptors at 39. Kobe Bray, the best three-point shooter by percentage in this draft. Kobe Bray from Kentucky goes to the Golden State Warriors at pick number 41. All right, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S., you'll be able to make your sports plays against other groups of fans rather than against sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. That's ProfitX. Back with more NBA, more MLB, more CFL here on VSIN Primetime, the Sports Betting Network.